You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
You know what? I'm going to get stuck into the message today because we're just going to have an exciting time. Let's see what God does. You know, I don't know about you, but I get stirred when all sorts of things begin to happen in the natural. Because, you know, the natural will either follow the supernatural or try and contradict it and go against it. And so no matter what's going on, how many people know we win? Listen, as Christians, you need to read the last page. We win. Read the last page, but we win. Amen. No enemy can defeat. Listen, we're not arrogant, but the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than anything that can come upon me. And so I want to declare, I tell you, it's an opportunity for Christianity to rise like never before. And I want to stir you. I think you're here today, and I really want to speak a word that I feel like will impact you, inspire you and stir you. And the goal is that we continue to grow. Amen? And so, listen, if you like what I'm saying, you can say amen. Even on screen, you can yell amen. I will eventually hear you. It'll get there. You know, yell at your iPad, yell at your television. Don't yell at your cat. Leave the cat alone today. But, I want to talk to you because one of our cultures in our atmospheres that we passionately believe in is this one here. Faith-filled for the miraculous. Amen. How many people want some miracles? I want some miracles to take place. You know, maybe you're believing for a miracle in your family's life. Maybe there's sickness that's been pestering you for ages. Maybe there's financial issues that you've been struggling with. I don't know what it is that you're going through, but I want to encourage you. Number one, you're going through it. But God wants to fill you with faith. He wants you to become a faith-filled person so you can believe for the miraculous. Amen? And so I want to speak to you about this in particular. Faith-filled for the miraculous, right? Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How many people know this scripture almost sounds contradictory? I mean, it says faith is being sure of what we hope for. I mean, sure kind of has a lot more certainty to it than hope. Amen? How many people know? You know, it's an evidence, right? There's an assurity of things. But how many people know? You can assurity is kind of like got some sort of foundation to it. But hope is a desire. Wow, praise God! That was an awesome response from you. That's fantastic. I thought I was asking a question. You know, it's all right. Thank you for your silence. That was wonderful. Thank you for the people online. I'm sure you were shouting louder. Amen. But the thing is, it almost sounds like a contradiction because it's saying being sure of, but it's hope. I don't even know, hope is something you hope is going to happen, but sure is like, no, it's totally happening. Are you with me, folks? And certain of what we do not see. Again, foundational, certain, I'm certain, but I can't see it. It almost sounds like a contradiction, but it's what faith is, because faith is those things. You know, when you gave your life to Christ, I've got to be honest, I didn't meet Jesus. I didn't see Jesus in the flesh, but I took a step of faith and stepped towards him. Amen? It always requires faith. To be an atheist requires faith. You actually have to have faith because you're believing in more stuff you can't see. You're believing that we just happened. That requires incredible faith. I believe we were created. That requires faith still. How many people know there's a missing link and there's an invisible God that I serve? Praise God. You're a tough crowd, but we'll get there. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 11 verse 2 and 6 says this. This is what the ancients were commended for. And without faith, everybody say faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the Hebrew writer is telling us that faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And it says this is what the ancients were commended for. We know stories about that. Abraham, by faith, went to a land that he was going to possess, but he didn't know which way. He just was told to move. How many people know that requires faith? Noah had to build an ark for 110 years with no rain. How many people know that requires faith? Are we okay? Right. And it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Come on, folks. I want you to understand this. This is the number one criteria if you want to please God. Not big Bibles. They're good. Not a cross around your neck. That's wonderful. Not Christian stickers on the back of your car. Fantastic. Your car will make it to heaven. I have no scriptural backing for that, so don't write that down. But it's faith. People want to please God by acts, but the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So I really want to stir you. See, what I've realized when I read through scripture is this, is number one, faith should grow. Faith, how many people know your faith should grow? Even as a young preacher, back in the day when I had hair, I had all my teeth. You know, I was a much younger, bounce back type of person. I used to preach to people all the time and I said, if I'm at the same level of faith this time next year, I'm backslidden. Because my faith should be growing. How many people know that? If our faith hasn't grown, if we haven't grown from last year to this year, and we're at the same level of faith, we may say that's constant. The Bible talks about it shrinking back. All right, I can see I'm going to get lots of people just cheering me on here, right, folks? But faith should grow, amen? Romans 12 verse 3 says this, for I say through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So when you get saved, there's a measure of faith. Right? God gives you a measure of faith. But I want you to understand all throughout scripture, we can see it's not supposed to stay there. God gives you, bless you. God gives you a measure of faith. But he wants it to grow. Are we okay, folks, right? Show me, Pastor. Here we go. Matthew 17, verse 20. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you, right? So Jesus uses this illustration of mustard seed faith. You know, I don't know about you, but mustard seeds are quite small. I remember one time many, many years ago as the university minister in Adelaide, South Australia, I was preaching at a university campus and I wanted to preach about mustard seed faith. So I thought I'll do an illustration. I went to the supermarket and I bought a packet of mustard seeds. And that's when I discovered how small they were. And I put them in my pocket because what I wanted to do is just reach in and grab one and then simply hold it out. Right? So what I did, this is amazing, Pastor Andrew, right? I ripped open the top of the packet and I put it in my pocket. And I thought, during my sermon, I'm going to reach in and I'm going to grab one of these seeds. So I got to the point of saying, has anybody here seen a mustard seed? People go, I'm not sure. I said, I've got some here. I put my hand in my pocket. As I put my hand in my pocket, I turned the packet upside down. And the seeds ran out. And these are so small that they went through the little stitching in my pocket and began to run down my leg. Now, it was a wonderful feeling, but it ruined my illustration. It's like those rain things, you know, it was running down the hairs of my legs, you know, just trying to make its way down to my socks, right? So I'm reaching around, I'm trying to grab a mustard seed, I can't find one now. And I'm going, oh my gosh, so I went, okay, here, who can see this? And I had nothing in my hand, and all the uni students went, yep, yeah, I can see it. I went, there's nothing there! But the truth of the matter is, that's how small it is. Yet Jesus is saying, if you have faith that size, you can still move mountains. But okay, well, where's the point of the growth, right? Here we go. Jesus used mustard seed as another illustration. He said this in Matthew 13, verse 31 to 32. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field, and though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches, right? See, so it may start as mustard seed size, but when you get planted, guess what? It grows. And that's the power of being a part of a local house. That's why we believe in the church, because Jesus did. We get planted and we grow. If you just nurture your little seed, how many people know nothing's going to change?
It is my seed. I shall save my seed. I shall keep my seed. I shall wrap my seed in cotton wool and no one shall see my seed.
No, plant the seed. All right, praise God. So here we go. Ready? Look at this. So what does faith need to grow? What does faith need to grow? If we're called to faith-filled for the miraculous, how do you fill your faith? How do you fill your faith? Here we go. Ready? See, I'm going to give you some of the things that faith needs. This is going to be super exciting. I know you guys are going to be jumping off your chairs. You know, I know Kingdom City Brisbane, I think, are going to be watching the service today. Hey, good up. Brisbane's just launching. How exciting is that? Pastor Ben and Sabrina Peters. Woo! Praise God. So here we go. What does faith need? Ready? Here we go. Here's some exciting stuff. Ready? Number one, faith needs struggles. Oh, the tambourines are coming out now. I like this message. Faith needs struggles. Come on, folks. I want you to understand this. It's not all about this, but you need to hear this right. Hebrews 11, verse 7 to 11. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I mean, that is awesome. I mean, husbands, try that with your wife. Wow, you tough. God, you imagine saying, what? Sweetheart, we're going. Where? Yes. Just go to Auckland Airport. I mean, you know, I'd like two tickets. Where to? Yes, thanks. See, he didn't know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. How many people know this is wild stuff, right? For those that don't know, Abraham's 100 years old, Sarah's 90. And now God speaks and says, Abraham, you're going to have a kid. You're going to have a boy, your own boy, through Sarah. How many people know when you're 100 years old, you're not doing family planning? You imagine going, Sarah! She didn't hear him. Sarah! We're going to have a baby! You imagine Sarah going, you get away from me. Seriously. Not 190 is not when you plan to have kids. Can't tell me that wasn't a struggle. He wasn't going, yes, Lord. Yeah, praise God. Mark 9, verse 17 to 24. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the body into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, I love this. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus. I think he loved that. Imagine Jesus go, excuse me, if I can? If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes, right? Powerful, right? Look at this. When immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. You know what he was saying? I believe you can do it, but I'm struggling right now. I believe you can change this situation. I believe you can heal my body. I believe you can quiet in the cyclone. I believe you can do this. I believe you can save my kids. I believe my finances can turn around. But right now, I'm in a struggle. How many people know faith needs struggles? There's nothing wrong with telling God you're struggling right now. That's not faithless. That's honesty. I believe my dad would get saved because I felt God say yes the moment I asked him, but it took a long time and there were some serious struggles on that journey. God, is it going to happen? I said yes. Yeah, but is it going to happen? How many people know we've got to be honest with God? This is what this guy did. Immediately the boy's father, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. One quote said this, great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. And great triumphs can only come out of great trials. Smith Wigglesworth said that. Great faith is a product of great fights. Great testimony is the outcome of great tests. Great triumphs can only come out of great trials. Amen. Faith needs struggles. Here we go. Number two. Faith needs food. How many people are happy about that? All those that didn't have breakfast this morning, hold on. It's going to be okay. Faith needs food. Romans 10 verse 17 says this, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Right, we know the scripture, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's food. It's food to your faith. Sometimes we can look good physically, but spiritually we're anorexic. We're on a spiritual fast all the time. Ooh. Come on, folks. What are you feeding your spirit? What are you feeding your faith? Sometimes you read, folks, I read the Word of God. I read it every day. Apart from Sundays, I preach normally from it, or I hear the Word of God. But 6 days a week, I spend 30 to 45 minutes reading. I've made it part of my lifestyle for the last 4 years, right? And there's times where I read, and it's tough, man. When you're reading the genealogies, there's names in there that will make you speak in tongues. You know, literally, you read. What? Why is this here? My flesh isn't getting it, but my spirit is doing a workout. My spirit's going, oh, this is good. I like this stuff, right? Come on, folks. Are you with me? Right? See, it's food for your soul. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? Look at this. Romans 14, verse 2. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Do you know, I realize this is, you know, when I read this passage of scripture, it's almost like God has set up a buffet bar, all you can eat, called faith. But the problem is we become in as fussy eaters. You ever been to one of those all you can eat restaurants? And seriously, I mean, I take that seriously. Amen. I'm one of those guys that live that scripture, mountain be removed, because I fill a mountain on my plate and then I remove it. And then I refill it. You know, true story, me and my younger brother once went to a Sizzlers. It used to be a restaurant in Australia, and it was all you can eat shrimp. So we ordered it. They stopped serving us. They literally said, no more. And we went, it's all you can eat. I mean, we'd only been on our 14th plate. I don't see what the big deal is, right? That's no joke. Right? They went, no, that's it, done. And I went, we didn't tap out. How many people understand what I'm talking about here? But you see, I don't know whether you've ever been to one of those restaurants and you're loading up the plate, man. I love those plates that have got all the different, you know, all the restaurants that have got all the different flavors of the world. And so you fill up your plate, man. Maybe first I'll go a bit of Indian. Then I might go a bit of Chinese. Then I'm hitting the Italian section. You know what I mean? Then I'm hitting the raw fish, you know. I'm going hardcore. I'm just having everything. Japanese, the works, right? I mean, my plates are full. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Yeah, I hear that. Amen. I hear someone say, good. Praise God. There's someone who's with me right now, right? But then you see that other person that's got this big plate and they're going, no. No, just some lettuce. I'll take a breadstick. Right? No, that's not what you came for. You're in the wrong restaurant. When I go to a Subway, I order everything. They say, what salads? I go, everything. They can't even fold my sandwich. Are you okay, folks? See, God has set up a buffet bar called faith for each and every one of you. So even if you're a vegan in the natural, you can be a carnivore in the supernatural. What are you feeding yourself on? Do you read the Word of God? Pastor Mark preached a message ages ago saying the Word of God is called daily bread, not weekly loaf. Amen. If you're reading the Word of God only once a week and you wonder why you're starving during the week, that's like coming to church and going, and then just trying to make it through the week. How many people know by Wednesday you're going, I'm starving. And then you'll feed yourself on a whole bunch of junk. Ooh. Come on, you ever come home, you're so famished, you can't wait for dinner. So you go into the pantry and you open up the Red Rock chili chips or any other sort of the kettle brand, the whole works. And you just bung a whole bunch of junk in your body. You fill yourself up and then they go, dinner's served. And there's a beautiful roast waiting for you. You go, I can't eat it anymore. I'm full. You filled yourself up on a whole bunch of bad stuff. And now you're not hungry for the good stuff. Are we okay, church? Well, get a Bible that you understand. Some people I find read Bibles and they don't understand them right. You know, they get the King James Version because that's the authorized version. I don't speak in King James, folks. You know, when I go to Burger King, I don't go, "Perchance as thou magnest. Henceforth could I purchase thy whopper. Yea, verily, could you smite thee with extra pickles?" Now, I talk in NIV language, you know, I talk in just the standard New Living Translation. Give me a whopper with extra pickles. You know, that's what I'm saying, right? Get a version that you understand, right? What are you listening to? What stuff are you downloading? What music are you allowing to get into your mind? I'm not saying you can't listen, but if you're just filtering and just listening to a whole bunch of rubbish and wondering why you struggle with anger or resentment. Some people, they come to me all the time, they go, "I struggle with nightmares," but they watch rubbish all day. Maybe change the channel. Are we okay, folks? I remember reading books like God's Generals back in the day, biographies that were written about Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and all this sort of stuff. And they stirred my faith. They increased me. They made me want to do more in the kingdom of God. Does this make sense, folks? You got to get these things into your spirit. Number three, ready? Faith needs a push. Faith needs a push. You want your faith to grow, you want your faith to be filled, you need a push, right? Galatians 6, verse 2 and 6 says this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, right? Powerful scripture. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor, right? There's a push, there's a camaraderie, there's a unity. We need each other, folks. That's why faith is built in communities, not in isolation. There's a point where you grow in your faith by yourself, but when you get around someone else, come on, man, it sharpens you up. It stirs you up, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. You got to get around those people. I've shared these scriptures beforehand. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another one. Right? The Amplified Version says it like this: iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend to show rage or worthy purpose. Right? What it's saying is this: is who you get around is going to stir you up. It'll either bring good out of you or bad out of you. Either way, it's going to produce a result. Amen? Come on, folks. I've got no problem with people wanting to talk about stuff that's going on in the world, but there comes a point where I go, enough. Well, it's not looking too good. I don't know about this. I mean, it's all right to have a little bit of a talk about it, but I don't want to live there. Amen? Who are you getting around to stir you up? Who's getting you hungry? Who's getting you fired up? I'm always asking people, hey, where's a good such and such restaurant? Because I want to know. You know, I'm new to Auckland. I'm learning stuff. I've got a whole bunch. I've already got my list. But I'm increasing it daily. You know, I mean, seriously, there's this restaurant down the road that makes the best shawarma I've ever had in my life. I mean, Jesus appears and goes, "Eat it." Okay. I like getting around people that stir me, remind me of who I'm called to be. Here we go. Last point. Number four, faith needs action. Faith needs action. Right? James 2, verse 14 to 18 says this: what good is it, my brothers and sisters, by the way, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Big question mark. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his... Is this okay, folks? I mean, I'm just trying to make you lighten up a little bit here, you know what I'm saying? But does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Come on, say it louder. Dead. But someone will say, "Oh, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." See, faith needs action. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I fought the good fight, right? I finished the race. I have kept the faith, right? It was an action as well as the faith, right? Jude 1, 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. That's an action, folks. Contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. You've got to activate your faith, my friends. I want to ask you a simple question. What are you going to do to activate your faith today? I know, listen, I tell you, sometimes I get more frustrated because when there's a whole bunch of social media posts or media posts just putting fear into people, installing fear into people. I've got common sense. I'm not an arrogant or ignorant to what the newscast is putting out. I've been checking the weather reports, but every time I check it, I go, Father, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. It will not come near our house. It will not come near our tent, right? The Bible says, I will not fear of the pestilence. Jesus promised storms, but he also promised storm free. Which one am I living in? Father, it will not come. It will not touch. It will not rob. I want faith in my life, right? But then I want to action it. It's no good just speaking it and not living it. Amen. One person said, if you talk the walk, you better walk the talk. Amen. Just speaking Christian doesn't make you Christian. Glory to Jesus. You know, I joined the gym by faith. I actioned it by turning up and exercising. How many people know gym membership doesn't make your body better? Exercise does. Are we okay, folks? Well, I joined a gym. Oh, congratulations. I put on 30 pounds. Why? Oh, I've never gone. I just joined it. Are you okay? When Peter walked on water, did the water turn hard before or after he stepped out? Come on, man. I don't know when. I don't say it didn't turn into concrete. Suddenly the water turned to concrete and Peter goes, all right, now I'll do it. Or maybe his feet blew up to Ronald McDonald's size. Okay, tough crowd. Okay. You know, the man with the withered hand, did it heal before or after he stretched it out? The blind man had to go and wash before he saw. There was an action to faith. Wigglesworth said, I would rather die in faith than live in unbelief. I love that statement, right? But one man said this. This is the most thing, but it just rocks me. One man said this. A little faith will bring soul to your heaven. Will bring your soul to heaven. But great faith will bring your heaven, will bring heaven to your soul. Did you hear that, folks? A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I don't know about you, but I want to walk this walk of faith. Back in the day when I got saved, mullet haircut in my 20s, 21 years old, mullet haircut, bodybuilder, big gold earrings in my ear. No, it's back in the 80s, baby. We had that song, I walk by faith, each step by faith to live. By faith, I put my trust in you. You know what I realized? It's a great song, but most of us didn't do it. Beautiful lyrics. You know what I mean? But we just sung it. God says, that wonderful. Are you going to go do it? Oh, no. I sing by faith. Come on, folks. How many people know? It's going to get tested. It's going to get tried. It's got to have an action to it. I want to stir you, church. I want to stir you wherever you're listening right now. What are you going to do to activate your faith today? What are you going to do to step out the boat? You're believing for a financial breakthrough? Knock on that door again. Go check your bank account daily. Amen? You're believing for healing? Try and do something you haven't been able to do. Amen? Go to the doctor again for another report. Say, check again. We just checked you last week. Check again. Amen? Come on, folks. What are you going to do to activate your faith? You believe in your kids getting saved? Start speaking to them like they're already born again. Amen. My sister, a lot of my family run saved right now. They still freak out. I haven't been over to see some of them for a while, right? It's been a while because we've been traveling around. But my sister especially, she always freaks out. She always goes, oh, no, it's really good for you to be Christian because it's good that you believe in something. I said, yeah. That's what I used to say. She goes, yeah, but I'd never believe in Jesus. I said, that's exactly what I used to say. She goes, no, I'd never become a Christian. It would never happen. I said, oh, my gosh, it's like looking in the mirror. You're practically saved. She's freaking out all the time. Going, no. Going, that's me. Oh, my gosh. Come on, let's go to church. How many people know You got to treat them the way you want to see them. I'm not going to wait until the evidence. I'm going to walk by faith. Amen? Come on, folks. We got to live by that. Actually, I'm telling you, what are you going to stand for? One man said, if you stand for nothing, you're still standing for something. Let's be a church. Let's be a lighthouse to our community. Wherever you are, wherever you're placed, you're called to be a lighthouse to your community. You're called to be a lighthouse to your family. You're called to be a lighthouse to your workplace. You're called to be a lighthouse to your university, your college, wherever it is. You're called to be the one. I'm telling you, you think people aren't watching you? They're watching you. They're seeing how you behave in a storm. They're seeing what's the difference between you and them when you're going through crisis. Amen? Come on, folks. I want to live that life. I want to live that life. I want to be that person that going, you know, and that's happened time and time again. And I'm sure some of you can testify where people are sit there and go, you know, I've watched you and you've never wavered. You've always stuck this. My guys that I worked, when I got saved, I got born again. I was working in a factory as a MIG welder, right? I was a MIG welder by trade. And when I got saved, a whole bunch of things changed. I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped being violent. I know some of you find that so hard to believe because I look so angelic. That got no amen once, man. Seriously. A lot of people going, there's no flipping way, mate. Honestly. But a lot of things changed in my life. And people that were, if you wanted to class it as a class, I suppose, would be regarded as my worst of enemies, became some of my greatest friends. And when I left, you know, when I left working at this factory at Holden's, General Motors Holden's, the boss gave me 3 days to walk around saying goodbye to people. So if you don't work, just go around and say goodbye to people. You know a lot of people here. So I walked around, and you know what? Some of these guys that we used to hate each other passionately, but when I got born again, things began to change. I remember this one guy saying, I used to hate you with a passion, but you're one of my closest friends now. See, there was something that just changed in you dramatically. My anger, my violent streak, my drinking, all that sort of stuff there. They saw an action to what I proclaimed as faith. Amen? One of my mates that got saved at that same factory was a modern day biker. He didn't ride a Harley, he rode an 1100 Katana. Was the drug dealer for the neighborhood. And I used to go in and witness to him every now and again in the welding booth. And in the end, I remember him coming to me. He used to call me Mr. Fielder, right? His name is Neil Alexander. My name is Matt Fielder. He'd go, Mr. Fielder. And I go, Mr. Alexander. And he'd go, man, it's going to rain on Sunday. And I said, why? He says, because Satan's about to lose one of his favorite children. And it was that weekend he came to church and gave his life to Christ. He burnt all his drug paraphernalia. A whole bunch of his biker mates stopped coming around his house because they go, what's happening, man? He go, Jesus. And they go, you know, and we can't go into those words because they'll be blocked out. But you know what I'm saying? And they never saw him again. He's now a pastor running one of the largest children ministries in Adelaide. Right? But he's a modern day biker, rough as. But I remember when I was leaving there as well, he says, man, he says, you brought change. I watched you and watched the difference. Because he knew what I was and he knew what I become by watching through the journey. Amen? I'm telling you, my friends, the world's looking for someone to follow. Let's be the people of faith. Faith filled for the miraculous. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.